record too. We're just recording and we're only going to be sending out audio, not video. So you don't have to worry about how you look this morning or your face appearing or any of those things. So I'm getting the hang of it. I just keep pushing a button. So it's wonderful to see those whose faces I see this morning. There are many I have not seen in quite a while. And so it's great to see everyone. Okay.
Brenda, I was requesting permission to record as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
May I record, Brenda, please?
Okay, but everyone needs to understand I'm not going through the list. So okay. that's the last of it, please.
Oh, it's okay.
Can you just allow recording for everyone?
No. You have to go through one by one by one by one and click on them and give them permission.
Okay,
so again, the recording is going to go out. You will get the audio recording.
Oh, that's great. That's fine.
But I can't do it
that way.
Yeah. I also cannot share the hosting. That's not the way my system is set up. Some people have a system in which they have multiple hosts and multiple capability. Mine does not. So, okay. So, oh joy. All right. Okay. I'm just going to wait a couple more minutes, and then I'm just going to let a few more people in, and then we'll get started. Cindy and Perry, I feel like I'm back in the four-week series. It's nice to see your faces together. It's great.
It's so nice to see you. We love your offering. So glad to be here.
Glad to hear it too.
Brenda, I just want you to know somebody's trying to get in. I'm going to try to help them. Maybe she doesn't have the current link.
Okay. She may not have the newest link for that I sent last night that has all this fancy doodle stuff in it. Yeah, I do think it's important. I know several people who've told me that they know about it having been their systems having been hacked. 12-step programs, someone who was involved in some other spiritual program. So it is a real thing. It just makes me feel the depth of pain that people are in right now. And that's where it's coming from. I mean, yes, it may be malicious, but it's also pain. So, okay.
Hello, Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I'm shy, but it's not that I don't want to show my picture. Start the. Is there another trick?
You either click on your screen. Or you go to the bottom left-hand side where it says video, and you click on the video.
To start.
Doesn't work. Neither of them work.
Okay, then I guess you're not coming on that way then today.
That's how it is.
Yeah, these are the
I'm
only
glad ones. To be with you anyway.
We're glad to have you. Okay, so I'm going to get started. All right. some of my poets in here probably know this poem, but I like this poem. So it's called How the Light Comes by Jan Richardson. I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is, all right, I'm going to mute everyone. All right. What I know is, I'm going to start again. I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten, or in peril, or in pain. That it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way towards flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you do not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes. So it's a beautiful poem. More of a blessing. But when I read this, my heart opens and I feel the longing we all have to feel the light of compassion in the midst of this imperfect world, our imperfect lives, and certainly today, in the times of what I would call the great imperfections revealing themselves. We all have the desire to exist and to come fully into life, to persist. Shuala de Lubitz, in his work, The Temple of Man, has described existence itself as being about to be and to persist. Right after the division of light and dark in the Torah, it is said that Elohim saw all that had been made and said, Ki Tov, that it is good. This is understood to be the good that does not include an opposite, that includes the light and the dark. Beauty could not exist without the manifestation of opposites, including the opposites of imperfection and perfection. I'm never going to pronounce his name, but I have a quote from someone who wrote, Soyitzi, I'm bungling it up, but he wrote The Unknown Craftsman, a Japanese insight into beauty. And he said, true beauty cannot lie either in the perfect or the imperfect, but must lie in a realm where such distinctions have ceased to exist, where the imperfect itself is identified with the perfect. This is beauty, he says, that refers to as irregular. Irregular not in the sense of being opposed to the regular, but comes out of a world that existed before the dualism began, this or that, rather, or before or after, that in a world where dualism is irrelevant, they are quite free from the conflict between the beautiful and the ugly. That's the beauty that we all live in, this imperfect world that's filled with so much sorrow and pain and confusion, and also so much tenderness, light woven within dark places, people showing up to be there for each other, supporting each other, caring for each other, and people acting out their pain. We tend to judge the world and look at the world. Okay, I'm going to mute everyone back again. We tend to judge the world based on the confusions or the pains that we're in. We either tend to look at the world and say that it's good, or we tend to look at the world and say that it's horrible, all based on what we're feeling, all based on either how contracted we're feeling or how expansive we're feeling. And it's interesting to me in this time, and I know you guys relate to this, where there is genuine fear and concern about the virus, and genuine fear and concern about all the ripple effects, financial and otherwise, homes and lives that are playing out. And it's interesting that when you're looking at the world from the perspective of feeling that everything is just separate and terrible, then you actually add to the confusion and the pain in the world. It's often hard to fathom why people would want to make things more fearful, more confused. But usually it's because, we all know this, because they can't bear their own pain. They can't be with it. And if you can't be with your own pain and your own confusion and your own lostness, then you're going to project it out into the world. And the challenge for each of us has to do with, how do we meet this imperfect world in a regular way? And how do we meet this imperfect world in right here, right now, with everything that's going on? How do we open our hearts when everything in us wants to shut down? Our minds are overwhelmed with data, overwhelmed with confusing data every single second that comes out and every single day from so-called experts and from those who aren't experts but are pretending to be experts. And our systems want to shut it down. We want to protect ourselves from it all. And our hearts want to close down. And our brains are screaming at us, fix it, make it better. I'll say one more piece and then I'm going to open it up for some conversation. The thing about it that's interesting is, as human beings, we have spent our lives being rewarded based on solving problems. All of us have. Some of us are experts at solving problems, like therapists and healers and business leaders, and we're experts at solving certain kinds of problems. But every human being has become a problem solver. It's constantly looking for a problem and constantly looking for a solution. And we actually think that that is, I'm going to forget the word, but it is, but that is the same thing. There's a different word, but it's the same thing as being human, is to solve problems. And so when something shows up like this virus, which is so, both it was You could say that it was expected and completely unexpected at the same time. Expected because the world is so connected. And, you know, it's not like 1,000 years ago where it might be isolated to one small village that would have an epidemic. It spreads, and it spreads very quickly because we are so globally connected. And yet simultaneously, in many ways, we've never been more isolated. And I don't mean just because we're isolated in our homes right now. I mean isolated. That's how people have been. They've been operating as if we're just isolated, separative beings, and we can do whatever we want to do, and there are no effects. And yet we keep trying to solve problems. But we want to solve problems usually with the same energy, the same mind, as people want to say it, the same paradigms in which we always solve them from. We want to keep doing it that way. And yet when we are thrust and set into such a stage of uncertainty, we find that all the energy, the structures, the ways we used to solve life no longer work. Doesn't mean that we don't have certain decisions we make and certain things we can't solve. But this dilemma as a whole is something we cannot solve in the way we were used to solving things. And yet people are still throwing solutions at it. Well, let's go back to work. Let's go back, you know, let's pretend it. Let's be willing to die, you know, before the sake of our grandchildren, said some Texan guy last week. And yet, we're called to meet this in a new way. To open our hearts to the uncertainty, to not knowing what to do, and to not run away from not knowing what to do. You know, I was reading yesterday, I live out near Yellowstone. Some of you know that, some of you don't. And it was talking about the fact that the bubonic plague, by the way, is actually killing lions, mountain lions, in Yellowstone. That it's actually been found in the ground in the Yellowstone Park, and it's been killing lions, mountain lions. And then we already know about the invisible plague that we don't know that's been killing bees. And we know about the other things that are killing insects. And yet somehow we fooled ourselves into believing that none of that would affect us and that we could keep on with life as usual. You know, I cried when I read that story because it's the first, and they've been dying for the last 3 years and I didn't know about it. You know, I was just in Yellowstone last summer. I mean, we're in Yellowstone usually multiple times in the summertime when it's open. And I had no idea that was going on. I'm saying all this just to say that we're being met with the consequences of our actions. The consequences of thinking we can be global and yet completely cut off from each other. And that somehow there wouldn't be effects of that. That's not punishment. You know, I don't believe in this is God's punishment. This is not punishment. This is simply consequences, cause and effect. We've been cut off. And I think this is a call. I think this is fundamentally a call to us to awaken, to open our hearts to each other differently, to open our minds, our bodies, to be willing to find a new relationship with ourselves and a new relationship with others, and to start questioning all the things we took for granted as the way life had to be. Doesn't mean it's not hard. I mean, there are many times every day that I will, and I'm sure it's true of you too, I'll fall on the ground and cry But I think that this is really light woven within dark places. They already talk about it, how the earth is responding to not having all of these factories going 1,000, you know, seconds a day. But it's hard. It's hard to meet that with compassion and to be willing to see that even this level of imperfection is worthy of love. Even this level of confusion is worthy of meeting it, even though we don't know how to meet it. So I'm going to open it up. You can unmute yourself. The best way to do it, you click on the unmute button to the left. I'd like to see what you have to think. I'm not trying to, what am I trying to say? I really want us to have an honest dialogue about how difficult it is to meet this space and yet recognize that there is a call in this, that there really is beauty here. There really are such possibilities. I know many of us are connecting to friends and family in ways we hadn't connected to them. We're on Zoom with them, or we're on Skype with them, or we're, you know, but we're checking in with them multiple times in ways that we weren't doing before. There's great beauty here. It's not just sorrow and sadness, and that's real too.
It's interesting, Brenda, because it's made me feel my own mortality and my ability to think about my own death and what it would be like not to be here, or you know, someone else not being here. And so there's a lot of fear surrounding that for me. And then a lot of trying to not make it real, but to get my mind around accepting it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get you.
Yeah.
I have a very good friend who has the virus, who's had it and been very sick for the last 10 days. And I've been giving her healings twice a day. And in giving her healings twice a day, I feel just how bad the virus really is. And she's someone without risk factors in her 50s. I, on the other hand, am someone with risk factors. I have asthma. So feeling how bad it and deep it's gone into her system and into her lungs with someone with no risk factors has been very frightening to me. But it's also made it real in a way that it was more abstract to me as a virus and what it could do. Now, having felt it in her system, it isn't abstract to me anymore. I get it. It's scary. Anyone else want to share?
I can share something, Brenda.
Oh, yes. Oh, Eloisa. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I feel on board, and I felt on board with the wholeness here that includes the imperfection and all that beauty that you're talking about. I feel I have felt seated in it and connected to it. The thing that I've struggled with the most, I'm sure other people have also, maybe you could speak to, is my impatience. I flip into, I call it a contracted space, really, where I get impatient and I feel urgent, like, when is it going to be over? And I'm switching off to that. And maybe you can speak to that a little bit. And that's while I really, truly, genuinely feel seated in this wholeness. And I believe I feel seated in a deep healing that's happening for all of us collectively, but I'm impatient.
I get it, Eloisa. I mean, you know, I agree with you. I have days that I, you know, moments of the day, sometimes multiple moments in a day that I feel that contraction, that urgency of like, you know, how many more days am I going to have to be in the house and not go out anywhere? And so I feel that. What I have found, I'm going to take you through a practice today, is that I have to keep coming back to my body because it's my nervous system that's actually getting aggravated. And so what I have to do is start paying attention to the sensations and the feelings. And again, I'm going to take you through a practice about that. But when I start paying attention to the sensations and I really let myself feel what I feel, but not add more story to it, like I'm afraid, and just let it be afraid, not a whole big story about being afraid, just I'm afraid. And I let that be, and I let myself notice the sensations. Then the more I find my system settles down, and I can meet what's there. And I actually find that then I have enormous patience, because it's like, because I have patience for my impatience, you know, and having patience for my impatience, then I'm able to go on and take each step and do each thing. And then if I find it's revved up again, but I really think it's the nervous system. The whole body is revving up to that fight and flight, you know, stuff. Everything's going on. And so you have to come back to the body and pay attention to the sensations, the breath. Sometimes if I don't have time to go through a whole practice, which I'm gonna lead you through today, all I do is just stop and pay attention to the breath and notice where my breath is contracting and see if I can open it up and let it expand some more. Make sure that I'm really paying attention to my feet. The feet are critical. If I'm just feeling the sensations in the upper part of my body, it doesn't set me. I have to feel it in my legs, my ankles, and down to the bottom of my feet. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, even if I take 3 minutes, 2 minutes and do it, I settle down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really get what you're saying. It's we can know this in a global way, that there really is light woven within this. And as you said, but I really do think it's the nervous system. The body feels the tightness of the space and the, you know, and the inability to do what you would want to do. And if you feel the lack of freedom in the way that you are used to, and the system starts getting
It's just like, I don't know, it comes up differently for everybody. I could wrap my head around school being shut down, but it shows up from like, oh my God, if there's no summer camp for the kids, when, you know, it just comes up in different ways. So
Right. And then I find that that's the other thing that I had to do, is bring myself back to the present moment. I'm like, okay, I can't make a decision about summer camp right now. You know, I mean, as an example, you know, even though now would be the time you'd be making decisions about the summer camp, but it's still like, okay, I can't do it today. You know, maybe tomorrow I'll do it in it, but right this minute, I just need to settle back in.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does take kindness to yourself to say, this is not kind, that this is actually an act of aggression. That's what I have to keep reminding myself. That I'm actually being violent to myself, and I'm adding to the violence in the world, actually, when I do this. I mean, I know that sounds overinflated, but I think it's true, because again, if we're all connected in the way that we're all connected, and it's making it very clear that we are, then if I'm adding to the aggression in the world by being cruel to myself, by pushing myself into some way, then I'm adding to the aggression, and I want to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you, Aliza.
Thank you.
Hi, Brenda. This is Wendy. It's very good to meet you.
You too.
Your words this morning have been very helpful to ground me a bit. My partner has the virus. Mm-hmm. We're hoping he's in a recovery stage, and I've been exposed, so it's raising every fear of that mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting it clean enough? Am I, you know, getting this craziness feeling, you know, that I wipe it, I'm washing my hands psychotically. It's insane, because I'm trying everything, feeling very out of control, you know, because I can't control it. And that's the state that I like to be in. And the mortality, and bringing up all kinds of triggers. And it's just an interesting and difficult time. The words you say are great, and it was very settling. And then I keep, you know, I go back to, you know, I look at, you know, I don't want to say it like this, but every morning I wake up to the same concerns. And if I want to use the word horror, but it's a little too much, but inside it feels that way.
Sure.
So I'm happy to be here and to hear these words that can bring me back to a more balanced state inside. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing so much. I've thought about that many times, of what it would be like if my husband got it and I didn't have it, but I've been exposed, and how it would be. And so I hear you. I mean, it's what you have. What I want to say to you is, one of the things you have to say to yourself is, I'm doing the best I can do.
And you know, I have been saying that, and there's also the piece of anger, because I have been working so hard weeks ago and sequestering myself and keeping the house clean, and my partner hasn't been.
Right.
So there's real anger there about, you brought this in the house, and now you've risking my life, you know, and it just is a lot of stuff coming up with that I'm trying to manage. And, you know, it's been an interesting journey with that as well.
Sure. I have no doubt. I mean, I've read stories of fathers refusing to let their sons come back who decided to go to a spring break and act out and, you know, expose therefore the younger kids and that kind of stuff. It's so hard to meet the fact that, again, people want to act out of their separation only. I can do whatever I want to do because I want to do it and not consider the consequences to someone that they love, to someone that's around. And even if it wasn't someone that they love, it's the neighbor that's next door to them, the other person on the street, to not consider the consequences. But that's the world that we've been living in. People have not been, again, have wanted to be global from the standpoint of we can get, you know, we can get avocados at any time of the year, have wanted to be global in that sense, but what haven't wanted to be global in the sense of really understanding that each one of us do contribute or hurt others by the choices of our actions. And it's a hard thing to take in. You know, one of the things that I think would be helpful for you would be is if you could allow yourself a few minutes each day, even if that meant you were going to a closed locked room, where you just let yourself cry out to reality and saying, it's too much for me. It's really just too much for me. Because to let yourself know that it's too much already releases some of the pressure you're putting yourself under. Because you're, when you say you're trying to manage it and control, and trust me, I understand, I you know, control freak 101 from, you know, I get this. But what you have to do is recognize that it's pushing you right up against the fact that you don't have control and that you need to acknowledge that that's true. I don't have control. I'm not in charge of this. And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because managing sometimes, again, has that violence. It has an aggression against yourself where you're trying to make yourself be different than the way you are. And what you're holding is huge. It's a tremendous amount to hold.
But I understand the aggression because I get that too. You know, right. I'm experiencing that also against myself.
Right.
You know, in the anger of you're not doing it right. You're not, you know, whatever words that, you know, you're judging and berating and questioning. So I understand that too. I do cry sometimes. I'm trying to do I am practice, trying to use some tools, but get very caught up in the other parts that don't allow, you know, don't allow me to, you know, get present.
Essentially. Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I just wanted to jump in and say, first of all, I'm glad Wendy got in. She was the person that was having trouble finding us.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Donna.
Okay. And she's a close friend, and I'm glad she got to get some healing and be with us. And I pray for her every day. I am looking at this time. I try to be grateful every day and realize what I do have. The health, the roof over my head, the food in my house. And I guess also I'm telling myself this is a new rhythm of my life. And I feel most of the time I'm adjusting to it. I think the tools you gave us are good to remember. I find having a structure helps. Doing practice helps, all the tools of our wonderful healing modality. But I think it's also when we feel the fear and despair, the other part of that for me is to feel grateful.
Well, I agree with that, sweetie. I mean, obviously, it's so easy to focus on the one side of what's not here and not focus on the other side of what is here. But we all know about working with opposites. And the what isn't here is true, but the what is here is also true. The roof over your head, the food, the fact that you're healthy, the fact that, you know, it's important to take those things in. It's so easy to focus on just what isn't here. And sometimes in the space of, you know, but we also don't want to just do it as a running away from. We want to hold that in balance the same way you're describing. And then when we find ourselves collapsing into that space of what isn't, we also need to be able to meet ourselves with kindness and compassion. You know, really let ourselves be held in that space, hold ourselves tenderly with it. Because we're all little children. You know, that's important. I mean, we all know this in terms of our own healing work. But in this space where there's so much new that's meeting us every day, we're all little children because we don't know the full way forward. And so it's a lot of meeting this moment and this moment and this moment, and everything in us that wants to rush ahead, we have to keep pulling ourselves back. So, but thank you, Donna.
Hi, Brenda. This is Rita.
Hey, Rita.
I'm just grateful for your talking about anger and frustration. Thank you, Wendy, for your sharing, because I was able to hold it, I think, relatively okay until my daughter got sick with the virus and her whole family. And then it's hard.
Yeah.
Then that blaming who, like, her husband was positive and he didn't have much symptoms, and kids, little ones, 2 and 4, were coughing a little bit, but my daughter got the sickest. So she's got willing, she's getting better and better, hopefully. But that contraction right away, it's just like not being able to, yeah, be grateful and see positive and goodness and all of that, it's just, just came over me as a tornado. So thank you for giving Wendy advice. So I'm going to use it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, Rita, I don't know how you couldn't have that reaction. First of all, she's your baby. You know, she has her own babies, but she's your baby. And you've spent a lot of time and energy protecting her, taking care of her, showing up for her. I know this. And this is something you couldn't protect her from. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You couldn't protect her from getting this virus. And so there would be a lot of anger that would appear. I find that for me, one of the other things that I do is I pray. I do briotic prayer with my anger. I will often let my, because to sing it out, to sing out my anger. I am so upset. I don't know how to be here with any of the, whatever it is that I'm singing. But letting it come out in that. Because again, your nervous system, your whole body needs to be able to express what's honestly there. But I, you know, I set a time limit on it. I'll set the alarm clock, you know, for whatever length of time I'm going to do it for. And I let it go on for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever I need to be with it. And then I go, enough. It's enough. I've let it be. I've given it a space. I've honored the fact that it's there. And it's not the only thing that's going on. I'm also grateful that she's healing. I'm also grateful that there's other things are going on. I'm grateful that my grandbabies are okay. I'm grateful, and you go within that. But you have to give voice to these things. If you don't let them come out, they come out sideways, and they create such stress in the system as you're, it's like a tiger in your body fighting, you know, and it doesn't do you any good. And it doesn't do life any good because you're still, because what it does is it spreads out the aggression. It keeps the aggression going and the anger going, and it keeps it, you know, and again, it has more violence to it. 20 minutes of really letting yourself feel it vividly and fully already begins the alchemical shift. Vivid, full, present, let it be there and drop it and go on. But you have to do that. The people I know that aren't doing that, I can feel what it's doing to their systems, and so it's important. Thank you.
But how, Brenda, do you not look at people differently once you have that sense of anger and blame towards them? I know that, you know, practicing what you said would be helpful, but I tend to look at people differently once they've lost my respect for not protecting other people. For, you know, bringing the virus into your home, for not protecting their families. And so I really don't know how to change that judgment that I have towards them. I almost don't even want to change it. And so that's what I'm wondering, you know, I'm playing with that idea of aggression. And how does that, is that just my form of protection or what? You know, I'm wondering about that. Yes. Because judgment is a big thing for me.
Yes, it is your form of protection. I understand that. You know, you have to think about it. What you're doing is by wanting to keep it out there, this thing, it's building up a wall around you. And you think that wall will allow you to be protected from the uncertainties, from the imperfections, from what will happen. And, you know, it often happens when someone's been betrayed, which betrayal is part of what you're describing in this, is when someone's been betrayed, the thing is, I will never be betrayed again. That becomes, and so we create the wall around us, so I will never be betrayed again. But we're always betrayed. Meaning that every one of us has done and will do things that have harmed others. All of us have. Not just around the virus, but around choices that we've made of things that we've purchased, of choices that we made in terms of all of our plastics and all the contribution to this world, the way that we've been living it. We've all been part of that. So the way that I find that you have to do it is you have to let that be vivid and full, and then you have to start questioning it. You have to start saying, is this really the whole truth about this person? Is this really everything that they've ever done? Am I really going to reduce their whole life down to this set of choices and make them the bad guy based on just those set of choices? Because then you have to say to yourself in that questioning, if I'm going to do that to them, then I might as well do that to myself. And we might as well take all of ourselves and just throw ourselves into hell, because we've all done, you know, or whatever versions we want to throw ourselves in, condemn ourselves. That's what we're doing. We're condemning ourselves for all those choices. But we have to let ourselves feel it. It's the only way I know to do it. You have to feel it first. Then you have to question it. And then you have to bring it back into your body and say, I have a choice. It's not really going to protect me the way I think it's going to protect me. It's not really going to keep this from ever happening in the world. It's not really going to do what I thought it was going to do. And that doesn't mean that I'm making okay, because that's the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't that I make all of their actions okay. Forgiveness is my willingness to see their humanity and to see that as human beings, we're limited. We make limited choices. We have a limited perspective. We get caught in, you know, egocentric, isolative points of view. We do what is convenient in the moment. We don't think about the consequences. And I have to acknowledge that. But the person who did this is still worthy of love. The person who did this is still worthy of love just as you are. And that's what I have to acknowledge, that they're worthy of love, even as the action that they took was not okay.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Thank you.
But it's wrestling. And depending on the person, you may have to do that multiple times, go through those stages. But it is necessary. Again, to me, the biggest thing is I don't want to add to the violence and aggression in the world at this time. I want to allow the light to have space in my heart and in my body and in my mind. And the only way I know to do that is through compassion, through forgiveness, through letting vividly what I feel be there. Again, not killing off my anger, my confusion, my fear, but then, you know, also taking other steps. So thank you.
I'll try to practice that with myself and others. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if you can't do that today, then maybe you need to start with first forgiving yourself for the fact that you can't do that today. Start there. Forgive yourself for your limited ability to open your heart right now. So, you know, as we talk about, be open-hearted to your closeness. Take that into yourself. Okay, I am closed right now. Let me be compassionate to that one in me who doesn't know another way to do it right now. Who all she wants to do is sit on the floor and have a temper tantrum and be angry at the world and make everyone go away. And, you know, So do that first. I often find that if the other is too much for me, then there's another step I have to back up. And the next step always has to do with me. What else am I not letting myself be kind with? And if I do that, then I can go back and do the other.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Bren?
Yes, Carol?
This is Jean Marie.
Hi, Jean Marie.
How are you?
Good.
So I'm struggling with, so I'm in the hospital every day. And that idea of holding opposites, like in 1 minute you're talking to somebody who's totally freaking out, great sorrow, 32 seconds later there's somebody else who comes in who's crying because, you know, they're caring for somebody who's dying and they can't support them. And then 2 minutes later there's somebody else who comes in and there's 200 donations that have just come through the door. So it feels like all day long the opposites are happening so rapidly that I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, sweetie.
And it's that feeling of so much helplessness all day long and so much goodness. And so I'm just really struggling with, in the quiet times, kind of wrestling with where do I settle with it all? Because it just feels so, it's so much like my bandwidth isn't that big. I feel like my bandwidth is starting to contract.
Right.
And I don't have that sense of, like, I don't have that sense of how am I going to hold it for so many. Like, I can't. I just feel like I'm losing it in terms of the ability to hold it all.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Sure. You know, Jean Marie, just to even hear what you're saying and what you're having to be with every day, I first want to say, oh, sweetie.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. You need the safe spaces for yourself, even if it's in a quiet space, to say, whether it's, you know, again, whether it's in briotic prayer or it's to a friend or it's to say it's too much for me.
Yeah.
Because that's actually true. And it's paradoxical. When you really let yourself know it's too much for you to hold, that's when the light comes in. That's when something else comes in that holds. And it's not all up to you. You're making it all up to you. And I understand me on the front lines where you're right there in the midst of it, you're going to make it all up to you.
Right.
But you, in your quiet spaces, you have to be able to say, it's too much for me. Carry this for me. I can't carry it. I can't integrate it. You're in the middle of it right now. When you're in the middle of a tsunami, you can't think to integrate. You can't integrate at this space.
Right.
This is the space, the only thing you can do is meet it to the best of your ability and then come home and say, I can't meet it.
I can't.
Carry me. Take this from me.
Carry.
So that I can go back tomorrow and meet what's there.
And do it again.
It's impossible for you to integrate at this stage. It's going to be months, if not years, before you can integrate all this with it. Because everything that you're facing every day, that level of death and life and panic and confusion and grace at the same time that's appearing in the space, how does one person begin to integrate all that?
I don't know.
Right. So you have to say you can't. You have to come home and say, I can't do it. Take this from me.
Take it. That helps.
Remember the giving half back? Remember that exercise?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. You're giving it back. You're saying, I can't carry this. I have to carry my willingness to meet it. I have to carry my willingness to show up, but I can't carry all this. I give all this back. Carry this for me.
That's great. Forget that part.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you for sharing.
Oh.
Jean Marie. I wish I could hug you. And we're not supposed to hug, but you know.
Feel free. Bring it on.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Hey, Brenda, it's Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi. So I agree that there's light woven among the darkness here that, you know, I'm hoping the world sees that we're interconnected with ourselves and with nature. However, I'm really struggling with the technology and the lack of consciousness with it. So consciousness is not...
So Heidi, I'm going to mute everyone and then you can unmute yourself because there's too much background noise. So I'm going to try this again.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's unmute you.
Okay. Did you hear what I said? So far?
Yes, I did hear what you said. Uh-huh.
So I'm still working. The governor in Wisconsin asked us to please come back. And I think the biggest thing is my feeling. I believe it says owner's iPad, but I believe her name was Jean Marie. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it is Jean Marie. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jean Marie. I just had such a heaviness of helplessness. Like I do my practices every day. Actually, I'm doing them twice. They're a little bit different now. But I'm really feeling people's lack of consciousness with nature and everything that's happened and what's happening with technology. And then I talked to a client and she's like, yep, my best friend's husband is a principal and they're putting 5G on the schools now while the kids are out of the schools. And I'm like, I can't, like, that for me is out of balance. Like, I'm doing my little piece on a daily basis. I'm definitely not freaking out. But that feeling, like, is the human race really going to come around? I mean, if you look at, I stopped watching the news for 2 weeks. I had a horrible dream that nature was extinguished. I was making potato soup, and I get this thought that maybe they're trialing 5G. Well, I was behind the times. They already did it. My next thought was maybe Wuhan, China, and Italy were one of the first trials, and they were. Now, I don't know how it played out and everything. I know that it's a part of it because what I know about EMFs doing to the human body, but I feel this like when she said that to me, I'm like, I'm so heavy on my helplessness with what's going to happen in the future. I don't think it's about, maybe the uncertainty is involved in that, but like, I am heartbroken about it because I'm like, are we really going to get this? Are human beings, because it is our tendency as human beings to go through shit and then forget. So I'm struggling with that. Like big time, I'm so out of balance that when I got done with that client, I mean, everything went fine, but I canceled my next client, which turned out to be perfect, just to be with this heaviness, like I feel that though I'm doing my part, I don't think it's going to be enough. For the world, that's what I'm talking about, for people's grandchildren, for my great nieces. So anyways, I'm really struggling with that on a daily basis. And I don't push it away. I just, it's not like I'm losing hope. It's just like the helplessness and the uncertainty is like, yes, it's there, but it's way bigger. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, Heidi, I think you've explained it quite well. And I do understand what you're saying. I meet that myself again and again and again. You know, when I alluded to the Texan guy this morning, who last week was saying, well, we have to be willing to die to save the life that we've always been living for our grandchildren. I'm going, well, if the planet's wiped out, there's no life for our grandchildren, but you've been denying the fact that we've been doing what we've been doing in global warming. Okay. So I get what you're saying. I mean, I think it's real to meet that. I can tell, the only thing I can say to you is that when I pray about this, and I pray about this a lot, and I work the Magi process with it a lot, and there are other practices that I've created that I work with or around as well. And what I get when I do these practices is that nothing is locked in stone, that actually awakening can happen at any single moment with whole waves of people. And that the difference between the suffering that people have been able to ignore before is that it's been predominantly localized. It's been one person suffering, or a group of people, family suffering. It's been a, or it's been, you know, it's been even like 9/11. It was one event and it was done. That the difference is that this event is going on, and it's continuing to go on, and it's going to continue to go on for some time, which makes it harder to just go back to the way things were, because it's showing us again the fault lines in completely new ways. You know, the fact that the article that I read about the bubonic plague in Yellowstone, I was talking about earlier.
Right.
It's, you know, these things are coming out, and again, people were able to ignore them, because again, it was the lions, it wasn't human beings. And human beings are very egocentric. And if it doesn't involve us personally, in immediate ways, then we can ignore it and we can pretend that there's nothing we need to do different. And that's just true. Will we be able to make this wake-up call? Will we be able to make the changes we need to make? I honestly don't know. But if I just fall into despair around it, then I'm also saying that it won't happen. I'm also saying that it's done for, that human beings are done for. And I don't happen to believe that. I believe that if I acknowledge fully the fact that I am helpless, I am powerless, and I'm one person, and all I can do is meet what's here and try to meet that and then gather with others and meet in this way and pray for the light to enter in, for something new to come forward. I don't know what's going to happen, Heidi. I mean, you know, no one made me omniscient. No one gave me the powers of, you know, I just know that I'm called, we're called to meet this moment with everything that's in us, not split our powerlessness from our power, not split our helplessness from being able to help, not split ourselves into pieces, but meet it in that way with everything that's in us and recognize the depth of interdependence and call upon. Because encircling everything we know, you know, all these unknown possibilities. And the unknown is not just dangerous. The unknown has all these possibilities for healing and light and radical change. And I also think that's possible in this space. I really do.
Thank you.
Love you, sweetie.
Brenda? Great. Yeah, thanks. So, I'm sure I'm not alone, but, you know, when you talk about fault lines, and I guess my word is vulnerability, that one of the things that I think is happening for lots of people is that long-term relationships, marriages, whatever, all those fault lines are coming to the front. And that's what's happening to me right now. So my 30-year marriage, I guess, is really on the line. Mm-hmm. That fault line is crumbling. And, you know, the timing is, I mean, it just is, but it's such a, I guess it's such a mirror in some ways. Mm-hmm. And it really is. I did a drawing about to possibility, that word possibilities, like there's all sorts of possibilities can surface. And I'm so in the unknown right now, and it's terrifying. And yet, you know, something beautiful will occur. I just have no idea. And right now it's that place of that you were talking about, of feeling very alone, like really alone in my own house with, you know, my husband cornered off in a whole other separate part of the house. We actually are going to talk this afternoon. It's been 16 days. But just,
yeah,
it's that sucky place that, yeah.
It really is, Elise. Thank you for sharing.
I mean, I'm drawing like I've never drawn before. I've got clients I see still doing great work, but it's just holding confidentially, I hope, with all the group. Anyway, this whole drawing part that's coming out of me, I'm posting on Instagram and all different places. And so that's a real gift. It's a super gift.
I'm glad you're able to draw. This practice that I'm going to take you through in just a minute, it has to do with allowing ourselves to be awake and aware of the sensations in our body. And then I'm going to have you be aware of the things that you're afraid of and the concerns and the things that are appearing. And then at another point in the practice, as we work with sensations, I'm going to have you be aware of your desires, the things that you want to have happen, how you want things to unfold. And then I'm going to have you be in touch with things about gratitude, preciousness, things that you care about in your life, and then we're going to go through it. The thing that I find is that within all of this, again, the fault lines, one of the major fault lines is how we separate. We split everything into fragments. And so then when we're afraid, we're just afraid. When we're contracted, we're just contracted. When we are angry, we're just angry. Everything else disappears to us. And what I have found is that I have to have a regular practice where I let all of these things exist in the same space and in my body. And when I do, I find that I actually have more access to resources than I had before, that I actually have other ideas that come to me, other thoughts about things to do, other senses of actions to take. I find that when I do this practice, for me, gives me access to resources. So I do all the practices I've already named to you guys when I'm in the middle of a, you know, heavy duty contraction, and that's the only thing I can do. But I do this practice to help me overall with meeting this. Because the big thing is that I've heard this from a number of people, that when this happens, people often think they're selfish to have desire. Well, desire is necessary in this space. Desire is necessary. We need to feel our capacity to long for something new, to long for a transformative healing process for ourselves or for life, to long for the joys and the pleasures and the beauties of life. We cannot get rid of, to close off desire away from all of these contractions is to reduce life to survival only. And I don't actually believe that that's true. I believe that survival and thriving are both are two faces of a single thing, and that we aren't just meant to survive through this, get, you know, grit our teeth and bear it. We're also meant to thrive and grow and open up and find new life within this. I do believe that deeply. It's a message I've gotten again and again and again when I've sat down. So this practice is designed to help you be able to access that as you go through, so that you can have, you know, all the sorrows and contractions which are real right alongside the desires and the possibilities. In other words, for those of you who know this language, not everyone is for the Oneg, Ogon, and Nega to live in the same space, not just Nega. It's important. Okay. So I'm going to lead you through the practice. So begin by just taking a few breaths, noticing the breath as it rises and falls in your chest or in your belly. I call this meeting this imperfect life as it is, opening to new possibilities. Begin by noticing the sensations in your feet, your toes, the top of your feet, as well as the bottoms of your feet. They may be tiny little micro movements or something else if you're having difficulties going on in your feet. But just notice them and allow the sensations to be vivid and full. Now slowly expand your awareness to include the sensations in your legs, your ankles, your calves, your knees, and your thighs. Again, you're allowing them to be vivid. And by vivid and full, I mean you're just allowing them to live. They're vivid because you're noticing them. They're being given presence and attention. Now ask yourself, who is noticing these sensations? You're not looking for an answer per se, but a felt sense in the body of being aware. Now expand your awareness to include some of your thoughts and feelings around the virus to appear in your awareness. These could include fears of getting it, fears of dying, fears of family getting it, financial concerns, or other concerns about the state of the world, or your grief or anger. You're just noticing them. You're not telling a long story about them. You're just simply noticing, first, that you do have feelings, and second, what they are. And you're giving them space. For this moment, you're not trying to fix them. You're just letting them allowing them to live vividly. Now ask yourself, who is noticing these feelings? Again, you're not looking for an answer, but a felt sense of being aware. Now expand your attention to include the sensations in your fingers and arms. It may be tiny micro movements, but you're just including your sensations in your fingers and arms, right along with everything you've already become aware of your feelings and thoughts around the virus, sensations in your feet, in your legs, and your hands, and your ankles. And now you're including more of your body, your fingers and your arms. Now you're expanding your awareness even further to include some of the desires you have here and now. These could include desires of health or healing for yourself, new possibilities of wholeness and aliveness. Whatever they are, just let them be. Just notice them and include them. Again, you're not spinning a big story, you're just noting them and allowing them to have place and space in your awareness. Now ask yourself, who is noticing these feelings of desire? Again, you're not looking for an answer, but a felt sense in the body of being aware. Now expand your intention to include the sensations in your spine, moving up through your neck and into your head. You're allowing these sensations to be vivid and full. You're allowing yourself to be aware now of the sensations in the whole body. As the whole body is awake and aware, and is including your fears and concerns, and your desires, everything fully present. Now expand your awareness to include gratitude. Gratitude for the preciousness of this life. Every feeling, thought, and perception and sensation which is allowed to exist naturally reveals the light of compassion. Uncertainty, when it's allowed to be actually uncertain, is an opening into new possibilities and new ways of being. Sadness, when it's allowed to be sadness, reveals the preciousness of life. Love, when it's allowed to be love, includes more and more, for such is the nature of life. Be with this in silence just for another moment or two. See what arises. And when you're ready, you can come back to the space, but do it slowly. If you need another minute to be there, feel free to do that. Any sharing? Thoughts?
There's more space, Brenda.
Good.
If I could stay in that, it would be wonderful because it felt so much better. So much better to include.
Yeah.
So much better.
Yeah. So even without the practice, in any moment you can stop, pay attention to the sensations in your body, then include your fears, then go back to the sensations, include your desires, go back to the sensations, include something else, go back to the sensations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I say something? I had a kind of a hypnagogic dream at the end of this wonderful journey. And it was that it was as a little girl. And I was on roller skates and I fell right on my fanny. There was someone else there. And I don't know if he or she picked me up, but I got up. And that was just, and it just felt so good. Like, yes, I can fall. We're vulnerable. And yet I can get up. Right. So that image is going to stay with me.
Wonderful. And I'll
contrast that to the dream I had just two nights ago, that people were coming much too close to me and all I was doing was saying, please go away. So this was a wonderful transformation of that.
Wonderful.
Previous
dream. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank
wonderful
you.
Wonderful journey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brenda?
Yes.
Calvin, as I was in that space that you allowed us to be in, I
I found myself feeling like a bowl in the sink, and the water was running from the faucet into the bowl. And the more I was in touch with the parts of my body, the more of my body I was in touch with, the more clear this bowl was holding the water as it was flowing up into the bowl. And at some point, it was getting to the top, and I was holding all this stuff inside, and it was getting more and more, and it was getting harder. And it was this sense of my body holding so much. And then at some point, it reached the top and it overflowed. And as it overflowed, I realized the bowl was in a bigger bowl. There was another bowl in the sink.
Yes.
As it overflowed, the other bowl just took the extra. And all of a sudden, my body, it got lighter and more relaxed. And it wasn't holding all of it. It was spread. It was going elsewhere too. But it was still there in me, but it wasn't just in me. And it made such a huge difference in how much both the good and the pain and the everything was being held in a way that was much more manageable. It was really beautiful. So thank you.
You're welcome. That's exactly it, Calvin. That's exactly it. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. That's exactly it. When you let yourself be present in this way, you do feel the holding container, whether that's someone who picks you up because you've fallen down or a larger bowl. You feel the larger. The light comes in. You feel how you're held by that. This is what I needed, which is why I developed practice. And this is what I wanted to share with you, because I felt if it helped me, it would help you. I'm happy to know it is. Anyone else want to share?
Yeah, Brigitte here, Brenda. Good morning. Good evening. Morning for you. This practice really helped me to, first of all, to deal with all the beautiful sharings people shared and that brought up in me that I recognize that have been parts of me as well. And especially in this practice, what I invited in was a new kind of loneliness that I encountered being so much by myself in this whole situation in the Netherlands with the social distancing and people having to stay at home. And then at the same time, the desire to the desires that are there too, and that I can meet them and be with them, that opened up a whole new, light space, mm-hmm. Kindness, mm-hmm. warmth, love. Yeah, I'm sitting here very peaceful now. You know, there's actually nothing to do. You know,
until there's something.
Yeah, until there's but there is this. There's this. Sure. There's no urgency in anything right now.
Right. That's exactly it. I hear you, Brigitte. Thank you for sharing.
So, thank you very much. Thank you for your opening up this space. It's really helpful. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, sweetie. Wendy, you had your hand up.
Thank you. Yeah, I also feel whole in a way that it's expansive because there's a way in which that healing assists me in holding the fear and the desire in the same place, which I found challenging or hadn't thought of. What made me raise my hand was Calvin's image. It moved me very much because it put me in touch with the ways that my feelings rise and viscerally, without me knowing even it's happening, my body contains those feelings. And when you said, Calvin, that it overflowed and then it's part of a bigger container, there was something about a felt sense of allowing it to overflow that for me individually, who is not accustomed to letting herself really overflow or know that it's overflowing, I feel very moved by that, touched and held. So I thank you, and I thank you, Calvin, too.
Brenda?
Yes. Oh, Candy.
Sorry, I have an assistant here on the computer that's really troubling me. Troublesome. Go away. I had sort of a different, architecturally speaking, a different experience, which was a strengthening of myself by contacting desire. Because there's, you know, we don't need to go into, like, you know, the one who's responsible, whatever, but the giving away of myself leaves me weak, and contacting the self that wants goodness for the world is overly exercised, but the self that wants what I want, and that the other self is not really getting, I mean, that aspect of self that wants goodness for the world is really not being met with much. I mean, it's so much, so many barriers to that being met. Yeah, they're pretty evident. But the self that wants what I want for me, because I'm alive and because I love what I love and I want what I want, having the space to have permission for that was for me the most empowering part of this particular exercise.
Excellent, Candy. I think that's so important. Again, each person will get what you need from this, but what you said is an important piece as well. That's, again, what part of why I developed this, because people tend to either become contracted as in just in their fears, or think they're not allowed to want at this stage in life. And then we can fall into the cardboard saint. Or like with Wendy and what beautiful description Calvin gave, you have to let yourself overflow, if that's what it is, to know that you're going to be held within it. Whatever you need within this is what's going to happen. But I found that this practice, again, allowed that depth of relationship that we all need with what everything is here, not just certain pieces of what's here. So.
Brenda?
Yeah.
It's Tova.
Thank you.
I was mostly aware of your voice and this quality of kindness that felt like a thread of connection. And so I felt very, this sense of awe and connected to everyone and very small in a good way. So thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyone else want to share?
Brenda, it's Cindy.
Cindy. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for having this meeting today. I live in the extended part of the epicenter in New York, and it's only been, I think, within this week that I've really let the grief that I feel and you name pain. And I think that the part that tipped the scale for me was when healthcare workers had to start making choices of who receives the ventilator or who receives the medication. And I was thinking about that today, and I thought, well, what is the odds? I really hadn't, I'd kept this at bay, like the depth of these feelings. And I was thinking, what is the opposite of the grief? And I named it, and it was very hard for me to allow that in. And so when you were talking today about the light and the darkness, instead of just naming something like as naming it without taking it in, I really was able to think of the people who are, you know, bringing food to the nurses and the doctors in the hospitals, and images of, I don't know how much is being shared nationally in terms of what's happening here, but images of children decorating, somebody putting chalk out. So the children all along this long, long road, this long neighborhood could decorate the streets with hearts and messages, and then somebody with a drone going over and taking pictures of it. And I was able to fully in this meditation let that in and recognize in a different way, like in my being, that this is part of the light in the darkness, and to really allow my gratitude to get big. And so thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing all that. Thank you. Well, darlings, I thank you all for being with me today, for being with yourself, most importantly, showing up for yourself and showing up for the group. Wait a minute, it looks like I'm at, oops, I gotta try to get. John, it looks like you didn't know how to unmute yourself, but your hand was up. I don't normally pay attention to the hand. So
I'm sorry about that. But I did raise my hand because I would like to express my gratitude for being part of this Zoom meeting with you, but also with the other participants and the way they share things. During the sharing, one of the things I realized was that today I actually did the, how do you say that in English? Flee. I flee to a very special place where I normally stay in my apartment because I'm a high risk person for this virus. I flee to a place, I couldn't resist that anymore. But it made me realize that this special, beautiful place is not the solution. It made me realize that the solution is within myself. Mm-hmm. And the next thing that happened, especially with the exercise that you suggested, that I participated in, gave me two things to be happy for. One thing is it actually did a very practical way of sort of naming. I do a lot of meditation the last days, but I'm not actually naming the various areas that can be included in the space. So this is one thing. And the other thing, the happy thing, is that it helped me, although I'm in this beautiful place, it helped me to also be in the beautiful space of myself. So thank you so much, Randa,
thank you, John,
for allowing me to participate.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
And thank you all for listening and participating.
Okay, Wendy?
Hi, Brenda. I was just wondering if you're doing any more classes. This was really amazing, and I just want to.
I'm thinking about it, so I'll let you know. So,
thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Hi, Brenda. It's James. I just wanted to.
Hi, James.
Thank everyone. It's really wonderful to see familiar faces. And thank you, Brenda, for this. I found myself discovering some normal ways of, when I close my eyes, of feeling the spinning that I certainly identify with. It seems initially very grounding, but it's also a vortex. And in, you know, in ending your leading this meditation, it was like emerging, like in Star Wars, from hyperspace into just a wide open field of steadiness, of an expanse, but also that it stopped.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much. And if I see one message from one person, if you left with the other fears that have arisen within this and vulnerability, again, it's important to have contact. I know most people in here do know at least one other person who's here. So it's important to have contact with each other. It's also important, as I said, to pray, to let yourself feel what's there, to cry if you need to cry, and call upon support to hold you in the tears. So, and this recording is going to go out. I don't know if it's going to go today. It might be in a couple of days, because I'm going to put it out so that anyone, even the people who aren't here, could listen to it. So it will go out. And if you know anyone you think that the audio, it's only audio, so your faces, again, are not going to be on it. If you know anyone else who wants, you think would benefit from listening to it, feel free to share the link with them and they can listen to it as well. So, and I will let you know when I schedule other stuff. So, all right, darlings. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Brenda, lots of love.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you. Hey, everyone.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you all. Good to see you. Many faces.
Yeah, thanks to Brenda and everyone.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that before I go. I'm going to turn around. Let's see some other faces I see. I see Travis. I see Gina. I see Eddie. Naomi. Wonderful to see these faces. Jenny? Wonderful. All right, darling. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.